Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hollywood Improv Lab. Make some noise. You guys in the right place for comedy. Welcome to Story Smash, the storytelling game show. We've got a lot of great surprises in for you. We got an amazing show, what can I say? And without further ado, please welcome the creator, the producer, and the host of Story Smash, Miss Christine Blackburn.
Welcome to another fabulous night at the Hollywood Improv. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I gotta tell you guys, there are so many amazing storytellers in this room right now that we are gonna be guaranteed to have a fantastic evening. Are you guys ready to have some fun?
Yeah.
Are you ready for true stories? Yes, yes, yes. So let's get started right away and reveal the wheel of stories. There are 12 permanent topics on the wheel and one additional space that says free. If the contestant lands on free, then they can choose any topic on the wheel. There's also three spaces that say audience. And if the contestant lands on audience, and they always do, then you guys have the opportunity to shout out the story that you would like to hear. So are you thinking of a story, Wendy? You guys thinking of stories? Because we need. Because if I say landed on audience, you guys, what do you want to hear? And you don't say anything, problem. So please join in, and if you have not put your name in the hat, there is an opportunity for you to play this game. Is everybody have their name in here who wants to play? Yeah? Anybody else? Jim Coughlin will be happy to help you out. Craig is at the bar. Rick is in the back. It's going to be a great night, you guys. Let's get started right away and bring up our expert judges. All right, you guys. First judge coming to the stage is a writer and an artist who began his career as a sports writer for the Washington Post. He then wrote on this little show called Seinfeld. I don't know if you might have heard that. But he came up with some of the terminology, you know, like shrinkage, double dipping, yada yada. He's also written several fantastic books, including Mandela Was Late and It Won't Always Be This Great. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Peter Melman. There he is. All right, you guys, coming on the stage right now is an actress and a comedian, and she's best known for playing on the Fox action thriller 24. She played Chloe O'Brien. You remember that? Yes, of course you did. You've also seen her in a lot of films, including Road Trip, Punch Drunk Love, Little Miss Sunshine, and Legally Blonde 2. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Mary Lynn Rice Cub. All right, you guys. Our final judge coming to the stage right here. He is, I have to tell you, he's been on this show. He's been judging the show for a year and a half. He knows what he's doing. In my left hand, I hold his brand new book. It's called He Started It. And it chronicles his Twitter war with President Donald Shithead Trump. It's out right now. You guys, he's here. He's here right now. Danny Zucker. Woo! Executive producer of Modern Family. Maybe you heard of it. All right, you guys, this is going to be a great night. Now, all three of you guys have judged this show before, so yes. You know what you're doing.
That's right.
Right.
We know that's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah.
Completely. What were you saying?
There's a...
Where am I?
Tonight we're playing... We're playing three rounds of the game, right? So the first round is going to be a true one-minute story. The second round is going to be a true two-minute story. And then you guys have the very difficult task of choosing two storytellers to go on to the third round to tell a true three-minute story. Peter, what is harder to tell? 1 minute, 2 minute, or 3 minute? What do you think?
I'm sorry, your time is up.
Hello.
I would say, I'd say 1 minute.
1 minute is more challenging, yeah. It's just a taste, you know what I mean? And then the second round... Double the fun.
Yeah.
2 minutes.
Half as hard.
Half as hard.
Double the pleasure. Twice as hard. What?
What?
What's happening?
I don't know.
Mary Lynn Rice Cub. All right, so you were here last month.
Yes.
When we
very
drew
exciting.
An audience member's name who just blew the roof off this place,
he
right?
He did, yeah.
He was terrible.
But in such a good way, wasn't he?
Such a good kind of terrible.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Like, did exactly what you don't want to do.
I know, but
it
yet
was amazing.
We laughed. It was
he is
great.
The best.
It was great fun.
Did he win?
And he got $1 million and a development deal.
We actually, what
and
we
a
did
channel
was,
on YouTube.
We gave him Danny Zucker's book. He started it, which was a nice kind of a parting prize.
Yeah.
And then I saw what you wrote in his book.
What did I write? I forgot.
You wrote, you got... You wrote, you got screwed, or you got...
You got screwed.
You got screwed. Yeah, well, that was nice.
I'm talented.
Hey, listen.
Well, we fixed the winner tonight.
So. You did already?
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is going to be a lot of fun, you guys. We're going to start right away, bring up the very first storyteller. And I got to say, it's not easy for this first person. It's just not easy. So be kind, would you? And also, by the way, when the person comes to the stage, we're going to tell them to do what? So tell them to do...
Spin that wheel.
Yeah, you know what to do. It's on the back of your... In case they forget, Peter, you just lift that up. They'll get it. All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now. Oh, look at this. This is going to be great. Oh, my. This is fantastic. All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now is a contestant who is a comedian and a writer and a cartoonist, and she's performed on Conan O'Brien, and she has a brand new book coming out in April. It's called How to Die Alone. Please welcome to the stage, Mo Walsh. Woo! All right, guys, tell her what to do.
I will.
There she goes. It's a nice spin.
Thank you.
Solid.
What's up?
Sexy spin. Cool. Sexy, sexy spin.
That is sexy. I'm getting wet.
Oh, that's nice. Vacation.
Vacation.
Yeah.
Okay. So do I start now?
Whenever you start your story, then the clock is going to start. We're going
to
go by you.
Okay, awesome. I actually just went to Amsterdam, and I went to a sex show. I don't know if you've been to one of those. Woo. It's hot. I went because I don't do drugs, so I was like, I should go to do sex shows because that's the only other thing to do in Amsterdam. And I went. It was amazing. It was like there was a clown who was like, it was kind of like Cirque du Soleil. She's the clown that comes between the performers, and she was the most talented woman I've ever seen. She would go from like... this side of the stage to this side, but she was walking extremely slow because she was wearing heels, and every time she walked, a mini flag came out of her vagina. Just like one, two, three, would wrap around this pole, go back. It was very talented. I'll be doing that in the next story. But the best part was like everybody would fuck. So every single one, there'd be like a different couple fucking, and they'd come out hard. So I was like, what is that like break room like? I have no idea. Because they just have to come out hard. And then lesbians came on, and I'm a lesbian, and they were like scissoring. I'm like, this is not real.
All right, Mo Welsh, that was a great story. Wow, you can't go wrong with Amsterdam, Danny.
No, it's great.
Thank you.
My three children are here tonight. Michael, will you stand up? Yeah, that's Michael.
Oh, yeah, that was dedicated to Michael.
My daughter, Charlie.
Yeah,
I got a lesbian daughter.
Yeah, it was dedicated to all your kids.
Yeah,
I forgot
and then
to
Lily
say that.
Over there.
Was this cathartic?
It was great. It was great. I just want to tell them. No, look, I'm a fan of magic. So any story that has that handkerchief trick is wherever
Agreed.
It's coming from.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, I don't know the detail of that. Like with every step, a flag popped out.
Yeah,
I don't know
were they
if
nodded?
That's possible, but I'm glad you said it that
question.
Way.
I have no idea if they were knotted inside of her, but I mean, she
did she knot them with her vagina?
No, it
like
wasn't.
A cherry stem?
No. She's not. I mean,
Peter Melman. Talented.
I liked I like the physicality of your storytelling, you know, about the flags with your hand going out and out. You know, that was, you know, very it was so animated.
Mm.
And you know, I like the slipping in of the lesbian part because it brought kind of a personal nature to the whole story.
Thank you.
For me too.
For
the gay one.
So personal.
Mary Lynn, anything else?
Personal, yet she kept her distance. You
yeah.
know, she said, I'm a lesbian, but that, you know, is a little bit, what does she mean by that? Did she like the scissoring? Did she approve of the
yeah.
show?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Did she not? What, you know, there's a little bit of mystery.
Would you answer the question?
Of
Did you like the show?
Well, I on it like when I saw the lesbians, I was like, okay, this is going to be good. And then they started having sex in such a straight way that I was like bummed because I was like, they're not really lesbians.
Boring.
Whoa.
It's like lesbian
porn.
Glad
I asked.
Yeah.
Glad I asked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
Danny, ever get the feeling there's something going on in this world that we're not really aware of?
Every day I feel like porn lies to me. So thank you.
Mo Welsh, you guys. Give her a hand. Mo Welsh. It's not easy, man. Not easy to go up first. Actually, not easy at all. Nothing's easy about this. Our next contestant is the star of Comedy Central's Mideast Minute and the newest correspondent and contributing writer for CBC's This Hour Has 22 Minutes. He's performed at comedy clubs across Canada.
Ooh.
Danny,
Good, yeah.
The United States, Peter, and England, Maryland. And he's also a frequent guest on Comedy Central's At Midnight, that show. You remember that show. You guys put your hands together for Partis Parker. Come on. All right. Woo. Tell him what to do. Let's hear it. Partis, you're a good-looking man. I'm just saying, I'm going to throw that out right now. Just throwing it out there. You heard me. Oh, breakup. Who hasn't done that?
All my relationships have gone perfectly. Not a single breakup. So a few years ago, I was in this relationship. A few years ago, I was at this karaoke bar, and these five girls walked in and felt as if the whole place went dark and there was a spotlight just on the girl in the middle. And I was just like, oh man, the spotlight is a sign that either she's the one or she's like a fugitive. Like, I'm not sure which it is, but I wanted to find out. Girls all come in, they sit at a table, I go up and I talk to them. And girl's favorite song comes on, she invites me to dance, we dance together for hours, and it's my turn to sing. I go up and I sing, and it goes amazing. I step off stage, I walk up to her and I kiss her. And it was the start of the happiest period of our lives, until finally, because of jobs and careers and long distance, we decided to break up. Because you know what they say, soulmates are a dime a dozen. But jobs.
Partis Parker, let him hear it, you guys. Partis Parker, great job. What a story, Peter.
I actually wish that was a 3-minute story. Because, you know, I wanted to know what you said to these five women when you walked up to them. I'm just, you know, fascinated by that.
What did you say?
It was, so it's a longer thing. I mean, approaching a group of girls in general just is intimidating.
Asking. Yes, that's
right. Because, like, I don't have, like, big dick energy, you know? Like, I don't, the kind of energy I have is more like, oh, hey.
Ladies?
Here's the IT guy, you know, like that's my.
You also left out what you sang in the.
Yeah, it was very conspicuously.
So I sang Sunglasses at Night.
My favorite Corey Hart song.
80s rock icon, Corey. Honestly, are you Canadian?
No, but honestly, if you had to list your favorite Corey Hart song, you'd be hard-pressed to go, like, it's got to be on your top 20, Sunglasses at Night.
If you had to list
the one, only Corey
if you had
Hart
to list
song.
Two Corey Hart songs.
Well, no, I told you my favorite. You want to just go down the line?
Yeah, I love his hit, My Sunglass Holder
at night.
He actually did have a second hit song. It was Never Surrender.
Oh,
which was
right.
Amazing.
Wow.
And there's an acoustic version of it on YouTube. I suggest all of you leave the show right now and go watch the acoustic version on YouTube.
No one was interested by the time he did Never Surrender.
No, they were, because when you go, oh man, it's the whole crowd starts singing the song and he stops singing.
For those of you just watching, this is what a Canadian getting outraged looks like. You don't get to see it very often.
And it only happens about Corey Hart.
Corey Hart or Crystal Gayle, I think. Those are the two.
Partis Parker, you guys. Let him hear it. Partis! I like that name, Partis. Have you heard that before? Partis? It's a new name. I haven't heard that.
Must be hell at Disneyland when you're getting those license plates.
It was shortened from Postpartis.
And his last name, Depression. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to the stage right now is... It's our audience member.
Holy
what?
Shit.
So here we go. Jim Coughlin, Handini Zucker, the can. And this person's coming to the stage to tell a true 1-minute story. And I got to tell you, it's not easy. Did I mention that? Who's coming to the stage, Annie?
Ariana Joyce.
Ariana Joyce. Ariana Joyce,
please
come on
come
up to the stage. You're playing Story Smash. Where is she? Joyce, there she is. What a beautiful girl. Yay, Merry Christmas. You're in the spirit. I enjoy that. You guys tell Ariana
Hi.
What to do.
Spin that wheel.
There you go.
What did I get myself into? Okay.
See? Yep. You always know an audience member.
It.
Rookie mistake. That's going to be 5 minutes of the show.
That's 5 minutes of the show. Points will be deduced.
Yeah. There you go. Oh, my God. That was good.
That was a good... That was slow down.
You know what? You
slowed her own spin.
You slowed your spin. As the kids say, you slowed your roll.
Okay.
Okay. Another vacation story.
Oh, okay. Okay, I've got the mother of vacation stories here. I got myself to Hawaii for the first time ever about 5 years ago. It was like a dream of mine. I couldn't wait. Went snorkeling for the first time. So we got there, and this big, huge sea turtle came up while snorkeling, which was kind of really scary, actually. It was, like, bigger than me. Next thing you know, I'm in a high tide. Next thing you know, I'm about to die. I'm, like, flashing, hey, hey, help me, snorkeling people. But they don't even notice because they're snorkeling themselves. So then right at that moment, my head was about to crash against a rock. I put my hand down instead, and my hand got put down on a sea urchin. Oh. I don't know if anyone in this audience is familiar with sea urchins, but it ended up being 28 sea urchins in my hand and a hand surgery. However, I decided not to deal with it in Hawaii because I didn't want my birthday ruined. Yeah. So I spent the rest of the trip like it wasn't going on, even though my hand was getting more and more swollen. And I waited till I got back to LA, and then it swelled up to like a basketball, and I had to go have hand surgery. And I don't know how I'm doing on timing here. Oh, what is it? 1 minute story, or is this? Okay. So, yeah. So that was it. But the Fairmont Hotel, they spoiled me because of it. They felt bad, even though it wasn't their fault. So they gave me a free suite and everything.
Amazing, Ariana. Way to go, Ariana. Go ahead and put the mic back. You know, the sea urchin is like the porcupine of the sea.
Oh my God! Yeah,
it was the most painful thing that's ever happened to me in my life, and I've had spine surgery.
Question.
Yeah.
Because I would have done this. Did anybody offer to pee on you? This is not about.
What?
No, you know, that's like the thing. You step on a sea urchin, you...
Jellyfish. Same thing? Same
so,
thing.
So, Peter, you're asking him... You're asking Partis what his line was when he went up to five girls. This is mine. Has anybody offered to pee on you? Did that not come up?
Well, I was in the ocean, and I think she's right. It's jellyfish and sea urchin are a bit different. But we did when I came back. They gave me like a whole thing, and you put your hand in salt and everything else. But no, I didn't ask anyone to pee on.
I'm taking off points for the condescension of telling me that sea urchins and jellyfish are different. But
totally
otherwise, it was an
you.
Amazing story. And honestly, compared to what we had last week, you're fucking Mark Twain.
Mary Lynn Rice.
The coldest winter I ever spent was the summer in San Francisco as well. That's why I moved back to LA.
Bam.
Wow, hey, do it. Boom. Wow.
This story.
Shania, unfortunately.
It's me.
You know her real name is
Shania. Oh, nice.
Mark Twain, Shania Twain.
What you were building to was going to be
a Twain. Mary Lynn, what did you think of this vacation story?
No, I had something exciting to say. It brought up feelings in me. As you got to the end of it and you were saying, I didn't want it to ruin my birthday, I was like, isn't that a metaphor for life? We just pretend like the pain isn't happening to try to have a good time.
Oh, I didn't think to tell the punchline of the story. Then when I took my pictures of the sea turtle, which was like the most magnificent experience of my life, and I've since deserted it was the ghost of my dead dad, Walgreens lost the photos. And I didn't even have any pictures to show for nearly dying.
Fucking Walgreens.
Man, you buried the lead.
I know. It was really painful.
Peter?
You know, her real name was Shania Langhorne Clemens. You know, the thing I like most about your story is that it confirmed everything I felt about Hawaii. I was there for 5 days, and I was beginning to think the attack on Pearl Harbor was not that bad.
What didn't you like about Hawaii?
I didn't like anything about it.
Interesting. Are you a beach guy?
Clearly.
I was at the Four Seasons, and they're like,
how do you not like
tough.
The Four Seasons Maui,
so
and you didn't like that?
Yeah, well, I was there the week before the big week.
Who hurt you?
You know, I was there. I was there like December 5th week, and the big week is like December 12th. So they were preparing the place for the big week.
They ignored
so
you.
So constantly, like, there's gardeners and hoses and blowers and everything. I finally, you know, like. I went up to the manager. I was like, you know, I love the Four Seasons, you know, everywhere. And I know you guys are the greatest. And I know next week is your big week. But, you know, I'm fucking here this week.
Yeah.
which all has nothing to do with your completely picaresque
just
tale.
Like Walgreens. Fuck Walgreens and fuck the Four
it's
Seasons.
It reminded me of the movie 10, her story, didn't it?
Oh, a little bit, yeah. Yeah.
Mary Tyler okay. Moore.
there it is.
What's Woo. Your last name again, Ariana?
Joyce.
Ariana Joyce, you guys, let her hear it. Ariana Joyce. Great job for an audience member, you know. Except for that whole wheel slip up. It was great. The next contestant is a comedian that tours extensively, and he plays Trademark in Comedy Central's Corporate. He's also a Moth Grand Slam winner, and he's been on This Is Not Happening, Drunk History, and WTF with Marc Maron. You guys, please welcome Dave Ross. Woo! All right, you guys, tell him what to do. There he goes.
I know this guy. I mean, I don't know you personally. Do we know?
I don't know if we've met.
No, but I know.
But
I
we've met now.
Now we've met. You've made me laugh on the television.
Oh, hell yeah.
Just don't condescend to him.
You have He'll also made you. Me laugh on the television,
oh,
by the way.
Thank you.
Other people were saying your words.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Unless...
Holidays. Well, that's appropriate. I mean, I dressed for it. I don't know about you guys.
Holidays. Man, this was one of the ones that I didn't... have a story for. I'm so sorry. You guys paid for this. I'll just pick one. Yeah, all right. Okay. This is... one of my friends from home. Yeah. Okay, let's do it. I got it. I always love to see my friend Matt when I go home because he's my enlightened bro friend. And we lived together actually for a while. I like went back and I was there for a month over the holidays and we lived together. And I had a job. He didn't. He's such an enlightened bro. He watched Anchorman every day. He watched Anchorman. One day I came home and he was like, dude, fuck yeah. I was just about to start Anchorman. He paused it to go get a beer and the D from the DreamWorks logo was on the screen. And I said, dude, wouldn't it be funny if we took a Sharpie and wrote O-U-C-H-E on the screen so it said douche? And he said, that would be funny. And then he took the marker, fill the rest of the word douche on the screen, and then we left it paused there until I moved out.
Dave Ross, yeah, all right, stay with us. What all a right. holiday story. It brought a tear to your eye, really, didn't it, Peter?
You know what brings a tear to my eye? The fact that people think Anchorman is funny.
Oh, damn. Oh, you know, Anchorman is here right
words,
now.
Man. Did not see what? That.
Wow.
Big words.
Wow.
Bringing it down.
This is why America hates Hollywood, right here. He hates Hawaii and Anchorman.
Your story tanked because he hates Anchorman.
But I like it.
That's fine.
Airplane's good. No, you do. You know, it's a thing.
Airplane's really good.
I didn't watch it.
Peter,
they
I love you no matter what.
Yeah, we didn't watch it. I've never seen it still to this day.
Really?
Yeah.
It's quite good. Despite what?
Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah. Holidays. I didn't...
Nah,
I kind of missed
sure.
the connection there.
Nah. Definitely. You could tell that definitely didn't happen over the holidays. and I shoehorned it in. Yeah, that was definitely my drunk tank story.
Yeah. Well,
I'll tell it again round two.
All right, we'll change it. We'll just make it say that you had drunk tank. I mean, like, what's at stake here? Yeah.
Truly.
Okay, go ahead.
Marilyn?
This was revelatory. You just got schooled. You took him down a notch. I heard your story, and I thought it was like an anti-holiday story. Oh. That you were there, and these two loser guys had nothing to do on the holiday, and I liked it for that reason.
All right. Danny?
I mean, it's the old Die Hard, is it a Christmas movie debate that rages on social media? I mean, I enjoyed your story. I mean, obviously, you bent it to make it... in a very Askatian way, to bend it to whatever the audience suggested.
I do love improv.
Oh, yeah. I could tell. Well,
never made fun of it once.
No. Yes, and I also...
Nice.
No, but I will say this.
Nice.
I did get through... No, my family will attest to this. Some people were there. I got through one of the Trump debates against Hillary Clinton by drawing on a dry erase board. I drew a dick on him.
Oh, that's great.
Like right by his mouth. And that was super cathartic.
Yeah, no. Yeah. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm going to go home and do that tonight.
Yeah, I might do that.
I have a Humanitas Prize.
It worked really well, too. Yeah, yeah. Really,
no, it was amazing.
Really turned
yeah,
the
no, no. I...
Dave Ross, you guys. Let him hear it. Dave
Thank
Ross.
You.
All right. You guys, moving on. This is the last storyteller coming up for the true one-minute story. And I know who it is because she's the last contestant, right? So we know that. And I'll pull it out anyway. So it looks like, ta-da, like that. Here we go. Storyteller coming right now. She is the author of the best-selling book, Long Story Short. And also, she wrote Long Story Short, the only storytelling guide you'll ever need. And her next book is called What's Your Story? And it's released in August of 2019. She is a 5-time Moth Slam winner. What?
Wow.
5-time winner and a winner of the Moth Grand Slam. And she's the only person that ever got a perfect 10 on the Moth Grand Slam. She travels all over the world teaching people to tell their stories. Please welcome to the stage, Margot Lightman.
Wow.
Here she comes. Tell her what to do, guys.
Here it goes. Fun fact, I have spun the wheel on The Price is Right. And the woman before me landed on a dollar and got $1,000, and so I didn't make it to the showcase. So, but I made a left with $1,664.
You should save this because it actually landed on Price is Right.
Hooking up, Margot Lightman.
Okay, so when I was in high school, I worked in a bakery, and there was a bunch of like cute teenage girls that worked in the front, and then there was a 25-year-old guy in the back that looked like a hot Scott Baio type, do you know what I mean? And he worked in the back. Yeah, okay. And he was always kind of like, you know, like Scott Baio, you know, inappropriately hitting on us and such. And so I had this boyfriend who was like a hot nerd. I mean, he was like a nerd post makeover. And so my parents were going away for the weekend. And I was working at the bakery and I was talking to the girls about how my parents were going away for the weekend and I was going to be all by myself. And the baker, the weird baker from the back, came out as I was getting off my shift. And he was like, Margo, I heard you're going to be on your own for the weekend, so I wanted to give you this. And he gave me a 5-gallon tub of buttercream. And then he said, promise me you'll tell me everything you do with it this weekend. And so my boyfriend shaved my legs with it. It was very, very attractive.
Margo Lightman, hooking up.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yes.
That was a good story.
Thank you.
What do you think, Peter?
I never saw the end coming.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
The whole gift of the ice cream, never
butter
saw that coming.
Buttercream.
Oh, yeah. Buttercream, yeah.
Yeah. Which is grosser, I think.
Yeah. yeah, well, it's pretty...
Well, you think ice cream is grosser to shave legs?
No, I it's a pretty competitive comparison, I think. Yeah. So. But I like the story. It was kind of like a coming-of-age story, and yet really perverse.
Mary Lynn Rice Cub.
I found the story confusing. Okay. For as straightforward as you told it,
yeah
I did not see the buttercream coming, and why did he feel like he could give that to you, and why did you accept it? Like, what was really happening, and what was he trying to say, and why so much buttercream? That seems lazy.
It seems like
it was in a tub, and he's like, here, and then you're like, oh, I'm going to shave my legs with it. Like, fuck you both, you know?
Yeah.
In the best possible way. I mean, I love you, and
I'm working on
I love your hair.
Oh,
you're pretty.
Thank you.
Okay.
Really? Thank you. I'm working on boundaries this year for a resolution, New Year's resolution, and I think it kind of stems from this incident.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
I'm all in. Now I get
it.
Where did you grow up?
Jersey.
Where in Jersey?
Are you from Jersey?
Danny's from Jersey.
I'm from...
Don't tell them. They're crossing the boundary.
The identity of the baker, but it's from... I'm from Mattawan, New Jersey.
Where are you from? Mattawan, Livingston, New Jersey.
Really?
Yeah.
Where are you from?
What's that? Livingston? Oh, Montclair. You're so close.
That's nice.
But Mattawan, we got some Glen Rock in the house. I mean, it's like crazy.
Yeah. Could you tell that story took place in New Jersey?
I couldn't. Although there's... It sounded, when you said Scott Baio type and being, that's sort of like every, did he have an Italian?
I thought it was Florida.
Did he have an Italian horn?
I don't know because he always had on an apron. I don't. It was blocking it.
Yeah. I mean, look, you're clearly a very good storyteller. Thank I don't you. Know what that amounted to at the end of the day in yeah. terms of like I don't know what it took. I don't know what the takeaway was. Oh, I was no. like, is this going to lead to? I mean, frankly, and I think everybody's thinking it, particularly my children, anal. Right. And then so I guess that's what we were all sort of
hoping for.
I don't want to say hoping for okay. it, but anticipating.
Well, okay. the, you know, the title of the story is Last Tango in Mattawa.
Mattawa. Pass the buttercream.
Margot Lightman, let her hear it, you guys. Margot Lightman. Man, these judges are rough, aren't they?
Last Tango in Jersey.
They're in it. Keeping it real, I'm telling you what. Wow. Listen, you guys, now we're going to double the fun, and it's a true two-minute story, right? So all the names go back in the jar, and we shake it up. This is the shaking. And they're going to do their thing.
They're catching up.
They're catching up. All right, that's cool.
I am focused like a laser, though.
Coming up to tell a true two-minute story, folks. Put your hands together for the one and only Pardis Parker. Pardis! Woo. Here he comes right now, you guys. Tell him what to do.
Nerve-wracking, by the way.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know.
Do you need to take that call? I'm kidding.
Oh, man.
Audience.
This is when it gets so exciting because this is when you guys have the opportunity to shout out what story you would like to hear, and then our expert judges will go ahead and choose one of those stories. So what do you want to hear? After school shenanigans. After school shenanigans. Weddings. Police. Car shopping.
Masturbation.
Whoa. Always popular. Anything else you guys want to hear a certain story? Doctors.
Weird things you ate.
Weird things you ate. Bowling, always popular.
Okay, that's a lot to work with.
What do you guys want?
I could pretty much hear any. I mean, a doctor story is always good.
I like that.
Doctor stories are great.
Yeah. Are you sickly, Pardis? I'm just trying to anticipate.
Are you ill?
You can tell.
All right. Doctors okay. is
doctor
the
masturbation
topic.
Story? Yeah.
No. Doctors is the topic. 2 minutes on the clock. Here
Tied
we go.
Tie them all together for extra points.
So I was jerking off a doctor after school, and...
Winner.
Just had that story in my back pocket, just in case. So after high school, I decided to volunteer overseas, and I ended up going to the Solomon Islands. And it was incredible. It was one incredible learning experience after another, like the time that I got malaria... And I learned that you should not get malaria. Like, if your options are malaria and not malaria, go with not malaria. Malaria is so bad that one of the options they've come up with to get rid of it is to eradicate an entire species, to get rid of all mosquitoes on the planet. And animal rights activists are just like, yeah, it's fine. That's how bad malaria is. It's awful. One of the other things that I learned while I was there is not to get stuck in a military coup, because that's what happened next. Just to be clear, malaria wasn't the low point of that trip. So, Prime Minister was kidnapped, police armory was raided, all commercial flights were canceled. I was in the middle of the bush. I head back to the capital. When I get back, it's a scene out of a zombie movie. It's New Zealand warship in the harbors. 1,000 people trying to evacuate. There's lines at the banks and stores, and everyone's panicking. Except I'm Canadian, so I was panicking, but like, you know, politely. So I head to the embassy. I get there just in time to get the last seat on the last military evacuation plane leaving the country ever. Army rushes me to the airport. I join the other evacuees. We see the Hercules land, and there's rebel machine guns going off all around us. And the New Zealand...
Oh, man.
Oh.
That's tough. You know, he wasn't looking
what?
At the clock, Danny.
I know.
I
he
saw
wasn't.
It coming.
Hold
I saw
on.
It coming.
It would... Could I... If I'm going to... This doesn't count toward your story, but you have 15 seconds to finish the story, because I want to know what happened with that.
So there's bullets whizzing by. And the soldier was just like, because we had to walk from the hangar to the plane, and the soldier was just like, you should walk quickly. And we were all just like, thank you. So we made it onto the planes miraculously. We make it back home. I found it. Like,
God damn it, man.
Wow, you're rough, Rick.
No,
hey,
I respect that because you.
Yeah.
I gave you that extra 15 seconds and you kind of waltzed through it a little bit.
Mary Lynn Ricegub.
Yeah, he's going to take his own time. Do it his own way.
Yeah.
Leave us all on the hook.
Yeah.
We'll never know what happened or what this has to do with doctors. Happy holidays, everybody.
Peter Melman.
I didn't make it out safely. That's the... I'm not here.
I was also going to say that the word doctor never really came up.
It's malaria.
Malaria. He's into it. I got it.
And as far as the malaria, non-malaria choice... You know, thanks. you know, I love that you volunteered, though. I really like that.
The takeaway from the whole story.
That was my take.
Remember that first word you said?
Yeah. Yeah, I like people who volunteer and go places. I actually volunteered for the Peace Corps. And,
oh, wow.
Did you really, Peter?
Yeah, that's actually how I got to L.A. They stationed me here. No, I actually tried, but...
Did you not get in? Seriously, did you not get in?
Something came up.
Seriously, did
I
you...
I did apply, and then I got a job here.
I see.
I got an American job. So.
I was in the Peace Corps. I applied.
Really?
And they sent me away. Yes, they sent... And I was off and about.
Where'd you go?
The Kingdom of Tonga. Whoever knows where the Kingdom of Tonga is, I'm going to give you cookies right now. Who knows?
South Pacific.
Partis Parker! I'm going to give you cookies anyway.
The
so
Solomon
forget.
Islands are very near.
They're not too far.
Yeah.
That's right. All right, keep going, Peter. Tell him what you think.
No, I, you know, other than the fact that it wasn't, you know, doctors didn't come up, I really like the story.
All right.
I have to add something if that's
yeah, please
a quick,
do.
A quick story. I'm going
to
stand up.
It doesn't
for this.
Even have to be quick.
It's about malaria. So when I was not married yet, engaged, the fiance and I, we took a trip to Africa, Kenya and Tanzania. And you have to get a whole series of shots for this kind of thing and take these medications. And so I had a very strong react. Like, they gave me the typhoid medication. I actually came down with typhoid. But the malaria medication created this thing where if I drank any alcohol or had any seafood, my lips would swell up. And... we actually even did. I was working on the show Just Shoot Me, and we did an episode because I came into the writer's room with my lips this big, and so or so, you know so something like that, or I told the story. But anyway, I'm on the plane to Nairobi, and I just eaten a cucumber salad, and at the end of it, I noticed there's tiny bay shrimp in those, and I was. Oh, this is going to be fine. I'm going to take a little nap. I then am feeling funny in my pants and super funny in my pants. And I go to the restroom and I want you to imagine a snake, I flatter myself, having eaten a Frisbee. It was swollen like it's like my dick absorbed the flying saucer.
I'm about to
go to Kenya. That bastion of Western medicine. And it was pretty terrifying. So that's worse than malaria, I think, right?
My dick is shaped that way normally. So hard for me to judge.
She just said it's turning into a rap battle. It really got Super 8 Mile there.
Peter?
And she married you anyway.
Yeah. I think we were married. We were married, right?
Well, girth matters.
It is important.
Yeah, we were married already.
Partis Parker, you guys. Let him hear it. Partis Parker. All right. Coming to the stage. Oh, wait. You know what I wanted to do? Who said doctors? Who said that? Who gave that suggestion? Whoever did that, pass this all the way back. They get some cookies tonight. Enjoy. I'm a giver. It's Christmas. All that stuff. Look at these guys going back into conversation. Yeah. Tell us. If you're going to talk, you got to give the microphone.
It was an anticlimactic story. Yeah, after your dick is like... got a sphere in it.
I don't know.
I took Benadryl and I went to sleep. And when I woke up, it was back to its sad, usual self.
I am never going to look at you the same way. That's all I'm saying.
I thought you were going to say you're never going to look at my dick the same way.
Coming up to the stage right now to tell the true 2-minute story is Dave Ross. Dave Ross, come on up, buddy. All right, tell him what to do, everybody. probably don't even have to hold the sign up anymore. What do you think, Peter? I should hold the sign up? Okay. I just want to get better, you know? Right, it's what I do. It's what I do.
Hell yeah, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so close to audience. Holly Weird.
Okay. Despite living here for a long time, haven't had a lot of celebrity run-ins, but there was a period of time in my life where I saw Kiefer Sutherland all the time. Like, all of the fucking time. Because, yeah, I figured. And it was because I was an alcoholic. Or at least a partier. So I went out in downtown LA and drank every night, and so did he. We just went to, he probably went to some other bars that I can't get into, or I don't know, but he went to a lot of the bars that I went to. We never met, but we did get to a point where we had seen each other so much that we got to, hey, man. That's where I was at, hey, man, level with Kiefer Sutherland. And I still, I never introduced myself or tried to have a conversation. I just kept it there, I guess. And then, out of nowhere, he's just disappeared. I stopped seeing him. It was noticeable. That's how much I was seeing this dude. I was like, wait, where's Kiefer? Where has Kiefer been? And I very distinctly remember being in my car and listening to the news. And on the news, there was a story about how he had just gotten out of jail that day. And I said out loud in my car, oh, that's where he's been. Haven't seen him since. Thank you.
Dave Ross. All right, now look at the time, 1:39. It's not a bad thing, but it's not 2 minutes.
I'm trying to slow it down.
Do you know what I mean?
Thank you.
Mary Lynn, we got to go to you first because he's your friend.
Due to a contract that I signed in 2002, I cannot comment on this story. Thank you.
Danny Zucker.
That story had me. I thought it was great. I think a little vamping in the middle to get even to a minute 30.
Yeah, great story.
Between you and I, that's like that's a thing. We're gonna notice that.
Yeah.
But also, and I know you can't comment on this, but I often believe that the internet was invented for Kiefer Sutherland's video jumping into a Christmas tree.
Wait. I'm not aware of this video.
Oh, what?
Well, your whole story just fell apart. What a fucking liar.
That's a 20-second missing link to your story.
Will you tell us that? Seriously, I don't know that
either.
Yeah,
nothing to tell. He's at some Christmas party. I don't want to make a snap judgment, but happy. And I hope he was drunk for this. And he just decides, fuck it, there's a Christmas tree. I'm going to jump into it. A giant Christmas tree.
Wow. Well, yeah, there was a terrorist in there.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Peter Melman, what did you
think?
Up.
You know what I love about that story? That it so embodies our experience in L.A.
Yeah.
You know, these celebrities kind of just impose themselves upon our lives. And, you know, anybody else in the country would be freaking out. Spending all this time with, around Kiefer Sutherland. And for us, and you, it's like, oh, God, you're so relieved that you hear that he's just gotten out of jail and it's not, something really bad hasn't happened. the L.A. standard of personal tragedy is incredibly high. I just really love that story because not only is it amusing, but it really captures, I'm going to say, the zeitgeist.
Oh.
All right. It's good
work.
Well,
thank you.
And, the zeitgeist has been on the run for a long time.
Yeah.
I think it is also telling, at no point did I think, oh, he's probably shooting something.
Yeah. exactly.
No, I was just like, oh, fuck, is he dead?
I remember, driving in my car in Malibu one day and turning on the radio and listening to the radio, and they cut in and Yitzhak Rabin had been murdered in Israel.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh my God, that's terrible. And then I look over in the next car and there's Dustin Hoffman going.
Los Angeles.
I'm like, geez, can a normal person be in the next car when something happens?
Amazing.
Does everything have to be associated with an Oscar winner?
Yeah. Dave Ross, you guys, let him hear it. Dave Ross. I used to see Kiefer Sutherland all the time in my neighborhood. He was always smoking in doorways. You know what I mean? Because you have to step out to smoke and or at the ATM. Who gives a shit? Okay, coming up to the stage right now.
I did.
For a true
two. That was a good story.
Up. Shut the fuck up. True 2 minute story right now. Margo Lightman. Come on, Margo. All right, you guys. Tell her what to do.
Convinced I was not going next, and I was very relaxed over there. Oh, breakup.
Breakup.
I hope it's with the baker.
I was going to say
I never dated the baker. The baker just gave me the cream.
It's like a writer's room.
Okay, so in college, I had this boyfriend. He was he's a French artist. I know, but that's what he was. It was a cliche. And in the first month that we started dating, he rolled over in bed next to me, and he said, good night, Diane. And my name is Margot, to remind you. And then later on that year, we broke up because he cheated on me, and it was like he really told me right away what was happening, and I ignored it. So that was my freshman year, and then my sophomore year of college, I was going away for winter break or something, and I was getting a ride to Boston. And I ended up randomly in the same car as my French ex-boyfriend for this five-hour ride. And this was the first time we were going to talk since the breakup of him cheating on me. And I was in this car with him for 5 hours, and we kind of didn't talk, but we were like inching closer to each other throughout the whole ride. And then we get dropped off at this train station, and both of us need to continue our rides. And he speaks to me for the first time since everything had gone down. And we get out of the car, and he goes, all right, hit me. And I was like, I'm not going to hit you. And he was like, hit me. I deserve it. Then we'll be even. You know, it'll be a wash. And like I said, I'm from New Jersey. And so it was very attractive to me that it was going in this direction. Because he was like so like calm and French before. But he was like, hit me, hit me. And I was like, please. And he was like, hit me. So I went to punch him in the face. And I couldn't because I had loved him so much that I punched him really hard in the shoulder. And he goes, do you feel better? And I go, yeah. And he goes, do you fucking feel better? And I go, yes. And then he grabbed me and he kissed me. And it was so hot. And as he grabbed me and he kissed me, the train came and the light went on. And I know he was an asshole and he cheated on me. It was a cliche, but like I had to, every one of you would have gotten back together with him in that exact moment. I'm not lying. Like all of us would have run into his arms. So I ran into his arms. And then we broke up at the end of the year because he cheated on me, which was exactly what happened before.
Margo Lightman. Now, how about that? She made up for that first story. Am I right?
Totally.
That was amazing.
What was wrong with my first
story? No, I love that story too. Don't get me wrong. I love that story. I loved her first story.
It's fine.
Marilyn Rice Cobb.
We're killing it tonight. I knew she was feeling that.
No, she's created her own genre.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what's going to happen.
We don't know.
Is it going to be buttercream or hit me?
I don't know.
The romance knows no bounds.
Yeah.
The ups, the downs. Right there for it. Thank you. Good work.
Peter Melman?
I'm a little surprised you didn't change your name to Diane. Interesting. First of all, great story.
Oh, thank you.
I just want to say, great story. Loved that.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. This is what an applause break.
A lot of tension. A lot of tension built up. You know, 5 hours. You know, nothing's going on. So French that the guy would wait till the end of the trip to ask you to hit him.
Is it?
I mean, you know, like they could, you know, hit us, we'll quit, and that'll be it. I enjoyed the story. Very, you know, I don't expect to get that much, you know, suspense here.
Yeah.
Oh, and
Danny?
I really like this story, and I think more of you as a storyteller and less of you as a person. but that's why we're here. I have a quick I had a Diane moment with somebody.
Oh.
But it's even dumber. And it wasn't that I was cheating. So I was in college. I was dating this girl named Terry. And it was on and off for 5 years. And then...
How many years were you in college?
Yeah, that's true.
It lasted after college. Smart ass.
Someone can count.
But
I
was in college for 8 years. But then my very next... We had broken up, like, and then we got back together, and then we broke up again. And in one of those points, the next girl I was with was also named Terry. Oh. And so this is how I got busted, was I was with Terry number two intimately, and I do this. I go, you know, we're kissing, and it's like, oh, Terry. And I go, oh. And Terry two... knew that there was a Terry one, and she was like, "Oh fuck you!" And really, it ended because she knew. But I could have just simply said, "Oh Terry," without the "oh," and then go back.
Right.
But I couldn't. Yeah,
you could have said you were thinking of Sherry O'Terry.
Yeah, exactly. It was before her time.
Who did you like better?
Neither of them.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Neither of them.
Good answer. Your wife is right here. Good answer.
That's a great answer.
Mary Lynn, anything else for Margo?
No, I already said my thing, I think.
Okay. All right, just checking.
Now I'm just thinking about the... Terry, now.
Yeah.
Talk about suspense.
All right, you guys. Margo Lightman, let her hear it. Margo Lightman. All right. Coming up right now to tell a true two-minute story is our audience member, and her name is Ariana Joyce. Come on up, Ariana. See how I remembered her name, Peter? Did you see that? It's pretty cool, right? All right, guys. Let her know what to do. Tell her what to do. Spin the wheel. Oh, see, now she does it gingerly because she knows we were all mad at her. Ooh, holidays.
Before you start, what's the difference between a zebra and a panda? No, because you condescended to me about the jellyfish. It's a callback. It wasn't a good one.
Do they both have tails? They're both black and white.
I'm giving you this opportunity.
One can use its hands to eat food. I just saw a zebra and a panda last year.
Oh, that's
both.
Cool.
Yeah, okay. holidays. Oh, this is the worst one for me because I have no family, so the holidays are always really depressing.
Good story.
Okay.
This is going to be funny.
Yeah, I know. But I can think of the one I always think of with the holidays. When I was a kid, my sister and I one year figured out where all the presents were hidden. So we decided to unwrap them all and see what they were. I don't know if this has happened with anyone else.
Yes.
So we went through, we saw what each and everything was, but then, I don't know if I'm going to fill 2 minutes with the story, but then it was like the guilt kicked in because we're like, oh shit, now like, you know, Christmas is going to come and we can't let our mom know that we saw what all the presents were. So I acted as a kid. I did children's theater and stuff. My sister did not. She was not a good actress at all. So I told her, like, you know, you have to act surprised. Like when Christmas comes, like, and we open the presents, like you have to act surprised. But this is not what happened when Christmas came. So my sister did like the over the top, like, oh my God. My mom totally knew what was up, you know, even though she didn't quite catch on, because then, like, the next year, she still packed them all up, and then we were going to my grandfather's, and so she, like, put them all, like, she was Santa or something, in a big, huge sack, and she was like, no, it's okay, like Santa brought them early, because we're going to grandpa's house, so I don't know what that was all about. How are we going to fill this? That was the two Christmases. Those are the last Christmases I ever spent with my mom, so we can just go into, like, a psychology thing here now. Then when I was 11, my mom, who was manic depressive, decided to spend all her money on a bunch of toys for me, but I had, like, outgrown them, so I think she just bought them for herself, like dolls and a dollhouse. This was, I was going into junior high, and I was looking at it, like, really strangely, like, I think this is past, like, the point of age where I'm playing with these anymore. But then she kicked me out when I was 11, and she kept all the dolls, so this is telling you a lot more about me than I was planning to tell you, but... And we haven't spent a Christmas together since. That's been about 30 years. So, yeah, we filled the time slot now.
Wow.
Yeah, okay, that's enough.
Ariana Joyce, I hate your mother. I hate her. God, Danny.
I just think, like, if this was a 2.5-minute story, how happy this room would feel right now. if we were just we're doing a 2.5 minute story. We all would have just left. Oh, that's a funny story about everybody can relate. My own kids have like inspected and acted surprised. I know that for a fact. And yeah, but then, you know, we got into the part with the mother. And I don't know. I think just on behalf of the most of this audience, we all just want to kill ourselves. So no, but it was really nice.
Marilyn, that's not true, right? Marilyn, what'd you think?
I loved that you ran out of time, and I mean that you had the extra time, and that it took that turn because it was almost like you were trying to tell this cute story, which it was. It was a great story.
It's so short.
And then you really got into some shit. And I thought that was amazing. And the tone with which you were like, no, she's manic depressive and like, whatever. Like, you got me at that house. No big deal. Just fill in the time here. Like, that's
good,
you know,
right?
I'm in the middle of writing a book right now. So this is, you know, I've been writing all this out. So
interesting that you really tried to give us just the cute story. And then the shit came out. I appreciate that. Good job.
All right, you guys. Ariana Joyce, let her hear it. We got to move this show along. Let's move this show along. Final storyteller coming up for a true two-minute story is the one and only Mo Welsh. Let her hear it. Mo. All right, you guys, tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel.
Nice spin.
Hello again. All right. Food.
Food.
So, you guys like food?
Opener.
Yeah. I know how to get to the audience. Put them on my side. I was poor growing up, not to brag. And my granny, she got a lot of free food over the holidays because she watched mentally challenged people. She's a saint. She's dead. And she used to get all this free food. Like when we go to her house, you go to her basement and the whole basement was just lined with free food. And like years later, we were like, that probably was like disgusting. It was there for years. So we didn't have like sugary cereal. Like we never got that growing up. Cause I'm one of five. We lived in the country. We just got like whatever was around. And, she brought over the biggest box I've ever seen. She brought over the biggest box. It was like this big and was full of like 24 boxes of Reese's Puff cereal, which, yeah, like in the 90s, it was just like that was basically like my first orgasm was like seeing that box. And I was so excited to have this. Great. It's going well. I was so excited to eat this cereal. And my mom made us like fall asleep first because she's like a sergeant. And in the morning, we all sat down, and I was the first one to go out to the porch where we kept that big box, and I took a box of the Reese's Puff cereal, sat down, we all poured it out. I'm pouring it out. I'm, like, already high. It's, like, so good. And I keep pouring, and all of a sudden, like, moths just start coming out of the box with the Reese's Puffs, just, like, brown puffs, and just moths, like the... What was like supposed to be like the best moment of my life was just disgusting.
Mo Welsh, you guys, let her hear it. Mo Welsh. Peter, let's talk about cereal.
I ate it anyway. No, I didn't.
Well, I like the story a lot. I mean, I like the turn. I had no idea the moths were coming. I thought, I'm a city person, and I thought they eat like sweaters.
A nice cardigan.
Yeah. Somehow this theme about mothers, you know, like I feel like suddenly like, you know, Sylvia Plath entered the premises. It's like Mommy Dearest territory. I'm disgusted that you had your first orgasm in the 90s.
I mean, yeah. Me too.
Yeah. Really? I'm joking. But no, I this was a good row.
It was
of
a great story.
This was a good round of stories.
It was.
You were right in there. We had no idea where it was going, and congratulations.
All right, we're going to keep it moving along, you guys. Let her hear it. Mo Welsh. Mo Welsh, let her hear it. All right, now here we come for the part of this part of the show where these guys have to choose two contestants to go on to the third round, and this is a difficult job. And here are the names, and you'll put two of those names in the jar. We're going to put 1 minute on the clock. You guys have 1 minute to figure out who's going on to the third round. And in the meantime, let me banter with you, can I? This show, Story Smash, will be back right here at the Hollywood Improv on Saturday, January 26th, and the tickets are already on sale, so you can get those, yes? Yeah. May I also say, Marilyn Rice Cub, right here in the center, she is going to be on Storyworthy, my podcast, on Monday. So, tune in to listen to that, right? Did I tell you that the winner of the show tonight is getting my very own homemade chocolate chip cookies? That's where the cookies come in. Thank you, Rick. I appreciate that. And I would be remiss not to tell you guys, again, pitching myself, about my very brand new podcast. It's called Screwed Up Stories. And it is with comedian Rachel O'Brien. We got picked up by Westwood One podcast, so we're very excited. And please come up after the show and grab a postcard, because I know that's what you want. You want a flyer. I know what you want. Also, I have to tell you that this show, Story Smash, this evening show, is going to be aired. Oh, look at that. It's going to be aired in January, so you guys check, you know, look for it and all that stuff. And I'll remind you because of the Twitter. You know the Twitter, at Storyworthy. Follow me at Storyworthy. And, okay, reset the clock there, Coughlin, and put the two names in the hat or in the jar. Was it a hard decision, Danny?
Yes. No joke.
No joke.
This, I've said this before, and I've said it's been really hard.
Yeah.
It's never been hard. Always obvious. Tonight was super hard.
Wasn't it? It was really hard. It was hard.
Was it hard?
It's very
I
hard.
Think any one of these people
yeah.
could have been in the two finals.
Yeah.
That's how I truly feel.
All right. Peter, was it hard?
Yeah. It was very difficult. And,
okay. You guys seem to, you know.
All enjoyable. I wanted more from everyone.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's hear from this person who's going to come to the stage right now, tell a true 3-minute story, which is like, who knows, right? And that is Margot Lightman. Margot! Love Margot Lightman. Come on up, Diane. Ladies and gentlemen, tell her what to do.
I will.
Such a great comeback after that disastrous first story.
It was so bad.
After that.
Terrible.
The literal shit you took on the stage. And
Drunk tank. Yeah.
Okay. So New Year's Eve is coming up. My first New Year's out of college. I lived in Queens, New York.
Yeah.
Yay. Okay. Wonderful. I hated it. And I was really kind of down in the dumps about, like, I just was like, oh, is this, I don't know. I lived in this, like, theatrical utopia for college, and then I graduated, and I was in Queens, and it was real life, you know, and it was kind of hard. And I kind of was a little down in the dumps, and I went to a New Year's Eve party where it was all of my older friends from college that had graduated a few years before. And I was still kind of a kid. I was still, like, fun. I was still, like, not in reality. I was paying my own bills, but I wasn't thinking about it a lot. And these people, I got to the party, and they had graduated a few years before, and they were all talking about, like, bundling their cable packages and, like, their gym memberships. And there was, like, this white wine that was just very bland at the party. That was it that everyone was drinking. And I was like, where's the fun? And I was, like, so annoyed by this party. And I just started to drink heavily because I felt really uncomfortable. And I was there with my college best friend, Adriana. And I just started to, like, drink to overcompensate it. And then no one was really talking. And then this guy, Pete, took out a guitar. And my friend refers to this as forced merriment. But do you know what I mean? It was like, everybody, we're going to sing and have a good time now. And everyone gathered around in a way that was so manufactured. And he starts singing, and, you know, he plays a fucking Ani DiFranco song, whatever. And, you know, and then I like her, but not in that moment and not in that context, you know? And then he plays Every Rose Has Its Thorn by Poison. Which I think has its merits, but in this moment, it was so manufactured, and everyone came around and was like, we're friends, and we're singing now, and we're not too drunk, we're just a little tipsy. And I don't know, there's something about that situation that really annoyed me, and I was starting to be filled with rage, and, like, I wanted to kick it up a notch. And I had a moment where I was like, I had a glass of water, I had switched to water at this point, and I was like, what if I just threw the water in the guy's face that was playing the guitar?
because then he'd look like a real rocker. He'd be like wet, and everyone would laugh, and it would make the party fun. And without any hesitation, I just did it. And the party stopped. The music stopped. It was the day the music died in so many other ways. And everyone looked at me and there was silence. No one laughed. And then the silence was met with a cavalcade of people saying, like, what's wrong with you? You've ruined the... And they're like, Peter, are you okay? Because of the water. Is the guitar ruined because of the water? And no one was laughing. And then I look over and my one friend, Adriana, that I had come with, was laughing quietly in the corner. And I looked at her, and I ditched all those other people, although I fielded phone calls and emails from them for days after telling me how disappointed they were in me. And I ditched all of them, and I am still best friends with her.
She's a good person. Margo Lightman.
Wow.
All right, look, there's no time to chat. We got to
move along. Tour de force, that's all I'm going to say, tour de force.
We got to move along right away, you guys. No time to chat. Sorry about that. Way to go, Margo Lightman. One more round of applause, Margo Lightman. Yeah. All right, you guys, coming up right now to tell the final story of the night. It's a true three-minute story, and that's going to be told by Mo Welsh. Mo Welsh! Here she comes, guys. All right, everybody, tell her what to do.
And I will.
Yeah. Here she goes.
Thanks, guys. Hello.
Before you start, that was the best story we've ever heard, I think, on Story Smasher.
I don't think I already did food.
She did food. You got to spin it again.
All right.
Tell her what to do.
I don't. Again. I don't need your permission. Yeah. I'm in the finals
she's
now.
Up Schitt's Creek.
All right.
Interviews. Good one.
Okay. So, are you guys in the industry? I don't have a lot of interview stories because I am a comedian. And, like, I've bombed a lot, I guess. And those are interviews for the audience. But who cares about you guys, right? You're not going to pay me. I get to get paid in cookies tonight.
If you're lucky.
If I'm lucky. Okay, so I don't act. Like, I'm not a good actor. And when I came out here from Chicago... In Chicago, there's no acting. Like, I went on one audition for a commercial, and I was supposed to be, like, sexy beer girl. And I wore my only skirt, which was, like, made by my mom. And it came down to my knee. And, like, I went to sexy girl, and there's, like, models there. And I just, like, I ate it. I was just like, hey, is this sexy? No? Cool. I was like, I love beer. So when I came out here, like, and I didn't know what I was... I didn't know how to act. And so this casting director calls me in because when you're a stand-up, sometimes people are like, oh, they're like kind of funny. So maybe they'll be kind of funny on my show. And I went to the audition and like every... You know, it was like every female comedian in Hollywood. And I don't know. Like, I honestly... I never had an audition like that. And it was for like the second lead in a comedy. And I was just like, I guess I... pretty much have this job. Like, I was like, I guess I should lease a car. Like, I'm like, I go from like 0 to 100 where like I'm gonna get this part. And all I did was memorize it. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to stand. I've never been to an audition class. And I went to the audition, 7 pages of memorization. And I went in there and I stood where I was supposed to stand. And I had been waiting for like 1.5 hours. And I just got out of my nanny job. I stood in my spot, and I just said all of the words that I was supposed to say. And the casting, she's like a big comedy casting director, and then she had like 3 other producers with her. And so I'm just saying all these words. They're probably like way too loud or like way too soft. I have no idea. And when she ends, like I was done, and I was like, holy shit, I just like aced it. Like... killed it. Definitely gonna book this comedy. I'm gonna make $26,000 an episode. And this is her feedback. Her feedback was, where are you looking? And like, no one told me about eyeline and that I was supposed to look at the person reading with me. So I was looking at the top left corner of the ceiling the entire time, just being like, I'm not going out tonight with you. Completely monotone. So I mean, I learned about eyeline that day.
Mo Welsh, you guys, Mo Welsh. Sadly, there's no time for discussion. No time for discussion because we got to move on. This show moves quickly. We're going to put a minute on the clock, and you guys have to decide who the winner is. There are the names. The minute is happening. I want you guys to give a big round of applause to my good friend Jim Coughlin. There he is. Jim Coughlin, you guys. He's helped me out now 18 months in a row. 18 months in a row. God bless you, Jim Coughlin. Rick is in the back on the sound. Rick, you're my favorite sound guy. You know that. Craig over at the bar. Big round of applause for Craig. Again, please listen to Storyworthy and my new show, Screwed Up Stories. You guys getting the story theme? Are you getting that? That's my brand. Yeah, exactly. All right, these guys are discussing. It's exciting. There's a lot going on. Holidays are coming. Wendy Wilkins is here. And they're deciding, and somebody's going to win cookies. And it's going to be an amazing evening. You know, Maryland Rice Cub has a set in the main room in about 20 minutes. So you guys can go right here and then go right to the main room and hear Maryland Rice Cub on stage. And if you don't want to do that, I'll be in the bar. So you go right to the bar. Me, in the bar. Okay.
I have a question. Keep the music going.
Keep the music going.
1 second.
There is no tie in this game.
Damn it.
You have to pick one of the M's. It's a Margo or a Mo. A Mo or a Margo. That's very difficult. It's not an easy decision because everybody was very good tonight. Of course. Yes. And so now we're going to make the decision. And this person is going to come back on the show, hopefully, January 26th, and try to defend their title. Hey, you know who else is here tonight?
Maybe we should just go with Pardis.
David Crabb is in the audience. Give a big round of applause to David Crabb because he won Story Smash a couple of months ago. Thank you for coming out again. And I got to tell you, I know
you won
it's hard.
Tonight, by the way.
I know he won. All right, this is a hard decision, but we have to do it. Was it hard to make? Obviously, it was a hard decision because you guys wanted to give a tie.
Literally wanted to do a tie. Almost wanted to do a tie with the top ones already.
With all of them, yeah, exactly. Okay, but we have to decide. And so Lower the Music and Maryland Rice Cub, who's the winner of Story Smash?
The winner is Margo.
Ladies and gentlemen, Margo Lightning, come on up, Margo! I want to thank all of the people that played the game tonight. Mo Welsh, Dave Roth, Pardis Parker, come on up, baby. Ariana Joyce, all you guys, thank you so much for coming out. Big round of applause for Danny Zucker, Maryland Rice Cub, and Peter Flippin' Melman, people. My name is Christine Blackburn. Good night!